a wrong choice.
Can destroy everything. Especially when you're a lady.
You know, I asked a question some time ago. I said, you ladies, you haven't found your purpose. You've not even known who you're saying yes to. I said, I do. And you do, and you get it, and you are done. Done for life. You see, I need to keep my marriage. And yes, but not the way you're going. That's what I talked about it last. You ain't going to keep it by trying to be second boss. You made that choice. You got to maintain the choice. And that's why when you're single, you have to know God's calling for your life. Because you were designed to say yes to someone. Who's coming into your life? You are a perfect need to help that purpose of that man stand. And in helping the man stand, you fulfill your own purpose. Because your purpose will be under that covering and that grace. Impossibilities are made possible. And this is where he is right now. The Holy Spirit divine, I ask that you replicate your presence everywhere there is a listener or a watcher right now. And Jesus be glorified. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to welcome every one of us to service today.
Now, we started looking at a topic I titled The Power of Love. And I urge every one of us, which even I intend to make mandatory for all the workers and leaders of the ministry, by reason of what the Lord is saying about the teaching. Praise God. Now, I was so thrilled when one of us who was supposed to have a meeting by reason of some situations going on and was asked to listen to the service, and after she called back and said she's gone through it and she's resolved to make a decision. Praise God. You see, many times believers are trained to believe that it's all about prayer and nothing but prayer. I'm a man who prays. I believe in the power of prayer. It's been the secret behind my success. First, as an individual, and the sustaining power of the work we do all around the world. Praise God. But you see, there is what we call the quality of your prayer. There's what we call the quality of your prayer. What do I mean by that? Your prayer life and the outcome of it. The outcome of your prayer life, not all the results that your prayers generates, has a lot to do with understanding of or knowledge. Praise God. I said, praise God. Now, we pray to change things with the power that God has vested in us. We pray to bring God's intervention on the earth, as though God cannot do anything until we pray. But beyond that, and this is going to shock you, whatever God has given to us does not first come by prayer. It comes by knowledge. It says, according as his divine power has given to us all things that pertains to life and godliness. Not through prayer. It's but through the knowledge. Through the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Peter 1 verse 3-5. He said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How does he come again? True knowledge. knowledge of His Word, knowledge of what Jesus has brought to us. Praise God. That light comes to you through knowledge. Now, when you begin to discover who you are, when you begin to discover who God is, your relationship with it, and what He has made available to you, it empowers you. It empowers you. So that as you pray, you're backed with knowledge to create a change. The Bible said Daniel was in captivity along with other Jews. The Bible already told us the guy was a man of prayer. He was a man who already knew to pray. David prayed 7 times. He prayed at least 3 times. And the Bible tells us how Daniel, in the society where there was a decree because of him to stop him from praying, he opened the gates, the doors of his house, so that all could see while he prayed. Of course, that brought trouble. Even with that kind of magnitude of prayer, he did not discover the source of his change. The Bible said, Daniel said, I, Daniel, discovered from the books that 70 years was God's judgment for Israel to remain in captivity. Not when he was praying, but knowledge. And now when he was back to the knowledge that, hey, we've gone past these 70 years with almost 30 years extra. Then Daniel engaged prayer by that knowledge. So there are certain things that we cannot walk into. There are certain levels of victory, certain levels of transformation we might not experience until we learn to give attention to the Word of God and discover for ourselves. You find that certain prayers were not necessary. All you need to do was to mature to know how to handle those situations. Praise God. I said, praise God. And that's why we're looking at the love of God. And last Sunday, I began to share with us about, from where we continued, the three kinds of love. We looked at Eros. We delved in more last week. And then we got to Philia. We talked about Philia, the conditional love, the love of contract. Praise God. And all relationships ought to be born that way, I said. Whether by marriage or anything, business, all relationships that are fleshy are born that way. Philia. You talk about compatibility of mind and thoughts. You talk about adaptability. You talk about similarity of choices. They'll talk about the power to assist. We talk about receptability. They'll talk about co-sharing. Yeah, you know, he thinks the same way like me. She thinks the same way like me. I just find out that we might not be exactly the same, but we can cohabit. You know, there's just this acceptance. I just don't get angry at what he does. Yes. I can tolerate him. She can tolerate me. We just met and it's as though we've known ourselves. There's just this connection. So what do you mean connection? You know, I don't know, but we're just connecting. We just get along. We have, you know, we seem to flow in knowledge, compatibility, adaptability, receptability. Yes. Praise God. Now, when you look at all this, I said, by such common interest, relationship is born. Friendship is, you know, ignited. Friendship that could lead to marriage, could lead to partnership in business, partnership in any other thing. Could lead to friendship. Like the Bible says, there's a friend that's ticket closer than a brother. So why? I just like him. I just love him for who he is. Now, that is very good. Nothing is wrong with that. In all sincerity, nothing is wrong with that. But there's a challenge. 2 years ago, I heard a minister say that God mandated us to love in terms of agape, but he didn't mandate us to like. And then he said, that means I can choose who I like. And then he turned towards marriage. And I said, it is true, but it's not the truth. You see, based on common interests, likeness is born out of an interest. There must be something you aim at. There's something you aspire to be. There's something you always would have defined for yourself. Remember, mark that word, for yourself. Now, certain individuals, when they play around those cycles in an acceptable manner or an approvable manner or way, such a person gains your attention. You say, I like the person. The person becomes attractive. What does that mean? It means that somebody can master you by studying and position himself or herself and get your likeness. We've seen it over time. A few years back, certain Muslim fanatics who are from families that are not just Islamically driven, but they are fanatics. In other words, you bring anything of other faith, they ain't only going to resist you, they can actually kill you. And then this guy woos a lady who he thinks is liked. And the girl wouldn't give in. So you're Muslim, we're not compatible. And the guy comes back and studies the lady and her interests. Studies the things that get her attention, the things that are acceptable to her. And what does he do? He begins to play within the cycles of those interests. And suddenly, this same individual starts getting attention. People start commenting around her. This guy seems to be acceptable by your standards. And sometimes, they even fake the acceptance of your faith so that they can be liked. If it's this thing that is going to stop me, I'm going to go for it. And having gotten the lady's choice, won her heart, everybody say, no. The pastor say, there's trap. They say, no, he's giving up everything. He comes to church. Is it not church? We're going to go to church. After all, in the Christian faith, you don't have to denounce any other faith to come into the house of God. Everyone is acceptable, including the native doctor in his garments. But he hoped that when he comes in, he would drop that chap. And so he comes in and hopefully deceives everyone. And everyone is watching. And people are cajoled into this folly. And then he wins the lady's heart. Gets her married in the church. Having done all that, they get home. You're not mine. And say, you're no more going to that church. So what do you mean I'm no more? You married me as a Christian. You say you're a Christian. He said, I was never a Christian. I've gone back to Islam. I changed my mind. And because I'm a Muslim, you must go back to my faith. And now she's pregnant. And then she begins to cry. You deceived me. Yes. Because there are standards for interest that builds likeness. There are. And that's why we have to be careful and sensitive. You know, many times when I talk about relationships and marriage, the first and most important thing for any young man or woman who's going to say yes to a man, beyond the, I've listened to so many sermons over the years, they say you need three things, the parental peace or acceptance, three peace, parental, pastoral acceptance, and then the inward peace. What do you mean inward peace? I told someone, what do you mean inward peace? Your heart can be at peace with anything that you've justified it to be. Because they talk about the others which are external. And many times, some pastors are not that discerning from my own experience. There are a lot of reasons I don't want to touch that now. Self-interest, they know if they tell you don't go, you're going to leave church and they need you. Like in Proverbs, it's foolishness to argue with a fool or to instruct a fool because he won't take it serious. He's not going to act on it. So they know that's what you're going to do. You've never heard God for anything before. This is the same man of God that told you, go fast for a business or something. You fasted as he came by and said, Pastor, I didn't hear anything. Pray, I want to hear God. Now, it came to marriage. You heard God. And by the time you tell the pastor what you heard, it's absolute trash and error. So they know. They know that if they go this way, pastor is going to be the judgment. I remember a young man. We're in a leaders' meeting, that was a few years ago. And in that leaders' and pastors' conference, I laid hands on him and prayed and casted out demons with outward manifestation of those demons crying out and leaving him. And they were exposed. Spirits that lead their family to make wrong choices at the point where destiny was to open to them. Prayed for him, prayed that he would not enter into a wrong relationship, not knowing that just before the program, he had met with a lady. And then, a few days after the prayer, still in the conference, the lady sent him a message. I'm pregnant. How do you get pregnant and know you're pregnant when it's not up to 3 weeks? How do you miss your period? Everything confirmed from both speeches that was how it was. Hold your peace and don't go in. There's error there. You were just prayed for. It's a long story and all trash. We're coming out of the program. We not even found our feet from resting. The week following, and here comes the girl to the office and meets with mommy, my wife, with an IB card showing that she's the one going to join them in the church where the church has not even known about the marriage, that he even has a date. And the first time you're coming to introduce yourself, without the official man introducing you, you're coming with an IB card showing that this is the church that will wed you, with a date, the church venue, the reception and everything, and the names of who. That was trash. I said, this is impersonation. You can be arrested. Sat both of them down and instructed him as a son because he was that close. Of course, the young man left. Was angry. How can pastor tell me to take this advice? How can? He's really a man of God. It didn't take up to 3 months or 4 months. They compelled other families to say yes to their will. And got a church, a renowned church at that, for that matter, to say yes to them, and they joined them. Now they are not members of that church anymore. And then the man leaves, the young man leaves town and calls one of the pastors. Abu said all manner of rubbish. How can pastor? He went everywhere talking. And months later, when reality begins to hit him, you've made a mistake. He cried to the closest of the pastors, I should have listened to pastor. I just realized I made a mistake. But of course, you're in mistake since. You see, one of the things that gives me concern is how ministers teach the word of God and expose truth. Remember, He says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly. Meaning there can be an erroneous way of dividing the truth of God's word or the word of God. Praise God. And I'm very concerned about it. Because you see, there are three very important decisions a man will make in his life. These three decisions will define every other thing about your life. If you're going to know peace, fulfillment and completeness, number one is your salvation. Your salvation is the most important thing than any other thing. Jesus said, what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Your salvation. Your salvation is the first thing. You have to find it, get it, and then keep it. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You work it out. What does that mean? He says, save your soul. Your spirit is saved. But you have to constantly renew your mind until, when they renew your mind, not just from walking in sin or iniquity, to the point where you've known the Lordship of Christ, where God has a full say over your life and choices. You've grown to the point where you not only know Him as your Savior, but He has become your Lord and Director and your friend. Your choices, your decisions have come in synchrony with His thoughts. Why He brought you to the earth. You're no more living to others. You're no more living for the standards of life. You're no more living to please men or to meet up to the expectations of others to show that you're not a failure. Your definition of success has stopped being on the material levels of life. What you have, what you can give, what you can acquire. I look at all the networking businesses and they say, live the life of your dreams. What do you mean live the life of your dreams? Go to the Caribbean. House of Canal. He said, life is not in meat and drink alone, but in righteousness and joy in the Holy Ghost. You've gone above that realm where success is all about acquisition and the pleasures and fulfillment, maybe in marriage or something. The things that are earthly no more define your comfort. They no more define the standard for your life. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. He said, know ye not that you are no more your own. You are bought with a price. He said, therefore glorify God with your bodies. He's not just talking about living a holy life of abstinence. That's part of it. It's a major part of it. But it's dealing with living your life to please Him. There's a reason you were born. That can only be discovered when you've learned to submit yourself to His will. You learn it. Look at this. When you read the story of Jesus, it's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing what you see. Amazing what you see about the young man Jesus. 33 glorious years of miracles of God in the flesh. And the Bible says he's proved his obedience through the death that he died on the cross. What happened to all the times he said, I do what is pleasing to my Father? God was watching. Yes. He said, these were written that you may know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why he did all those things. God was one walking with him and walking through him. But there was a time that was going to come where he was going to walk with God by his own will. And that was when God called him my obedient son. The death on the cross. Amazing. That was when he proved his sonship. His ability to lay down his will. How he wanted to do the things he was doing. To say, God, this is the utmost reason. Every other thing you came for was to prove this one point. Listen to this. If Jesus had missed that day, he would have ended up as a prophet. God would have had to need to create another son. But thanks be to God that Jesus prevailed. He said, not my will, but your will. That's the salvation of your soul. Bringing your mind, the choices you make, your decisions, your responses, to come in synchrony, oneness with God's will. Meaning you cannot go where you want to go. You cannot take decisions you want to take. Not because you don't have a family, but it has to be in accordance with the timing and purpose of God. That's the first most important decision a man must make, whether male or female. The second is discovering your purpose. So you find your salvation. And in finding and keeping your salvation, it makes you know the Lordship of Christ. Then that brings you into discovering your purpose, your essence. Some of us are doctors we're never supposed to be. Some of us are engineers we're never supposed to be. But when you stay in the Lordship of Christ, and in the deep hunger to be relevant in your time and to make a difference with your life, not just to walk and survive and keep a family, how so empty such a life? That's what many of us are doing. As your family expands, you want to expand your capacity, so you get more degrees, you do more jobs, you get into more investments. Family must grow. Is that wrong? No. Remember, Jesus said a man's life does not consist of all that he has. But the value of a man's life is what proceeds out of him. What proceeds out of you. What is the content of you? It's dealing with your purpose. Your purpose. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. Many ministries have used that to talk about serving God in ushering and all that. But when you read the Greek terminology, Paul said, I beg you on my knees with everything I have, that you walk worthy of the calling. You got to walk worthy. In other words, you got to live your life to fulfill that which God called you to do. He started talking about service from verse 7. Unto every one of us is grace given. And they get to the later parts. He talked about gifts. Every joint supplying as it should. That's what he talks about service. But in chapter 1, he tells you, with everything I beg you, find that thing that God has called you to do and live your life worthy of it. Meaning, you can find it and not be worthy of that calling by how you lived. Saul found his own and missed it. Not everyone who has found it stayed to the end. That's what the Bible says, he that endures to the end. He that endures to the end. Three different times. He said, number one, you will receive a crown of life. He that endures to the end. If you keep your faith, we're talking about the battle, the victory of your faith. He said, if you endure, holding, he said, I know the trials of your faith. He said, but if you hold to the end, he said, he will give you a stone. On that stone, there will be a name which no man knows. He's talking about a seal of authority to those who have conquered in the other time to come. That's the world to come. You become an authority reigning with him. Let you know, what we are doing here today with our lives, we're not just living to make heaven. The Bible tells us, after the 14 years reign, 1,000 millennial reign of Christ, we are coming back here into a new heaven and a new earth. That's what he created man for, to live here. And the Bible said we're going to reign with him forever. Some people will just be citizens. Look at this. How long do you want to be a commoner? Still be a commoner in eternity. I think about it every day. They've not told us what the future holds for us. So we think we just escape hell. We're not escapees. No. We're not escapees. The capturing up of the saints, which you call the rapture, is not for an escape route for us. No. It's for our glorification. It's for our glorification. It tells us in 2 Thessalonians, it says, it's not for us unto condemnation. When we think of that day, we think of it with joy. It's for our glorification. We are the bride going home to meet with our King. And when we get to meet him, he welcomes us. But you know what? The Bible talks about 10 virgins. There were 5 foolish ones and there were 5 wise ones. It talks about 10 talents. How are you trading your own? The 10 talents, the parable of 10 talents, tells you about purpose. So when he comes back, the one who traded his 10 and doubled it, he said, come, sit at my side and take empires and rule. The one who traded 5 faithfully and got extra 5, he said, sit here, take territories, rule. He lets you know in eternity is not an idle place of drinking and dancing. And no, it's a place of work. There are men who will still reason with the Lord. Why do you think we have planetary bodies? That's for another day's topic. So it tells you, use your life worthily for the cause you were born to live. And when you find it, understand something. It can never be the same with another man. So there's not like, oh, because we are doing the same thing, God, why is this one like this and my own like this? That's exactly what happened to Peter and John. Jesus told Peter his future. How did we kill him? And then he saw John. If myself that has been the radical one, always giving Jesus strength, they're going to kill me. He said, what about John? What was his own future? And Jesus reprimanded him. He said, what is your business? If I say he would not die and live for eternity, what is your business? Focus on your own. And then, of course, the Bible said they went around saying that John would never die. Praise God. He never said that. He was only reprimanding Peter. Stay focused. I called you alone. Hallelujah. Now, the way I'm mentioning these things with scriptures is the way a man's life or a woman's life should go. It's not number 2 before number 1. I'm not missing it. So that I say 3 does not mean they can be interchanged and still have the same results. No. It has to go this way. Salvation, lordship, purpose. Then number 3 is marriage. Every other decision you will have to make in your life is tied around those 3 choices. And the painful thing is that Christians are not equipped enough to understand these 3 stands. What is salvation? What does it mean when we say we are saved? Number 1, it means that we received His righteousness. Number 2, it means we have received His peace. What does that mean? Meaning I've received a right standing with God that qualifies me to reign in His stead. I'm His son to reign in His stead. Number 2 is that I've received peace, meaning that in this part of eternity, nothing can bring me down. I have completeness of God in every way. His peace has fortified me from the defeat of all of life's circumstances. Glory to God. And number 3, it means I have become His heir. Meaning I'm the one that God has sent as His representative on earth. If they were going to look for the headquarters of God, they should not be looking for a building. They should look for you, the believer. Because you are His headquarters. He said to we that God was in Christ. God was in Christ. Reconciling the world to Himself. Now, Christ is gone. He said, and He has made us ministers of reconciliation. I'm an ambassador of God. Say that about yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 20. He said He was not imputing their sins against them. But He was in Christ reconciling Himself, the world to Himself. And now that He's gone, that is what we have become. Ministers of reconciliation. Hallelujah. That's what we become. The same ministry. He calls us Christ ambassadors. You are the tabernacle of God. I can't shout it so much. But it's something I say to myself every day. The fullness of God dwells in me. Therefore, I cannot fail. I'm not a man that fails. Hallelujah. I've received this peace. I've received this righteousness. Then number three, I've received this love. That's what causes you to reign in his stead. That's what causes all nature to respond to your order and decrees. That's what makes your faith